to Career Junkie TV, your hub for honest conversations with the beauty industry professional. Look, I get it. We all are at different levels in our careers. Our journeys may seem different, but you know what? There's someone out there with a similar experience, and we are here to bring you beauty industry professionals who will share their stories, wisdom, and insight in hopes that we can help you take your dreams to the next level. No more dog-eat-dog industry. CJTV is here to bridge gaps, force inclusion, and give it to you straight. No holds bars, without judgment, and out of love. Oh, did I mention we just might crush a toe or two? So be sure to stop by our complimentary bar on your way in and grab a few band-aids. Cause this just might hurt a little. You ready? Okay. Let's grow. Today we have Dr. Ty Codwell, who is the co-founder of SheerShare, and I'm super excited to have him on the show with us. I think he has a lot of knowledge to give to each of you, which is always my goal, a lot of experience to give to you, a lot of wisdom. So I think this would be a good episode where you guys may want to get out your pens and pads, which every episode is that, but make sure that you jot down some note and some wisdom, some tips that he may give out. So I do it a little different. I know most times, Dr. Ty, other people give a little bit about who we're talking to. On Career Junkie, I kind of tell you to give us just a quick breakdown of who you are. It doesn't have to be long. Just run your list down in like 30 seconds.
Give them a little bit more. Okay, my name is Dr. Ty Caldwell. I am the CEO and co-founder of SheerShare. SheerShare is the first B2B mobile app that connects salon and barbershop owners to empty space to rent daily. This is something that we developed because it was a problem that we were solving. So my background is I've been in the industry for almost 30 years. I've been a salon and barbershop owner still for over two decades. I wrote a best-selling book called Amazon bestseller called Mentored by Failure. And I also am an instructor and I have my doctorate in professional barbering and cosmetology. You know, this industry has fed my family for years. I love it. Like the first day I started, and one of the things I tell, if you get into this industry and you do it right, you're going to be very successful. So, you know, just a little bit of background on me.
Absolutely love that. Now, I am going to ask you, how did you actually start? Because you are a barber, as you said. How did you actually get into barbering? Was it something you always wanted to do?
I've always been, I'm the seventh of eight kids. And before I moved to Dallas, I lived in Arkansas. So right there in the Delta, you probably heard of West Helena, Arkansas, right there in the Delta, close to Memphis. I grew up right outside of that town in a small community. So I lived there, like I said, up until 15. I'm the seventh of eight kids.
Oh, wow.
Or to go to the barbershop and the beauty salon every week or every other week. My parents just didn't have that type of lifestyle for seven kids. And, you know, one day I picked up some scissors and did a full haircut. Then, you know, I was like, okay, well, I'm good with these shears. Okay. And so my brother's friend started traveling over the summer. He let me borrow his clippers. Why did he let me borrow those clippers?
Oh, man.
I didn't know how to use them. I said, you know what? I saw someone working with them. And I said, well, you know, I'm a visual learner. We as stylists, barbers, and in this profession, we're visual. So I used them and I fell in love. And from then on, you know, I've always liked it. So I moved to Texas. Like I was cutting my friends, my teachers, kids and teachers on Saturday mornings. I would wake up at 7 o'clock, start cutting at 8.
Oh,
and I was working too. So I was doing that at 12 and 13 years old and cutting some of my football players and basketball players' hair. And my brothers, they never had to go to a barbershop. Even to this day, they work in my salon. And, you know, they've always, this has just been the foundation of what we've done. After moving to Texas, finishing high school, graduating with honors, and deciding I wanted to go to school for sports medicine, I just couldn't sit in that room all day long. I didn't want to have to just really worry about focusing on that. And I just like, you know, what can I do to really leverage my gifts, my talent? And I had a come to Jesus meeting with God. And I was like, you know what? I have this gift, I have this skill, let me go to school for it. And I would do it for free, but I would love to make money doing it as well. And that just started from there.
We all want to get paid for the gifts, right? Something that we're excited to do, but absolutely, to do it effortlessly. I think it makes it all worthwhile. So you actually, it seems like you have a family thing going on. You say your brother's working in the barbershop with you.
Yeah, I'm not in the shop anymore. So my brother, things are good. I've done some remodeling, and I remodel my shop probably every 4 to 6 years. You know what I'm saying? Just do a clean remodel. My shop, I mean, not to brag, but my shop is probably one of the nicest, cleanest shops in the area. Mm-hmm. When inspectors come by, they don't even walk through. They just like, we haven't seen a shop.
We already know.
But yes, my brother manages it, and my nephew runs the finances. So it's good to make sure that it's always up to par, you know, and it's good to know that your partners or the people that work under you are family and that you can trust them, because you have to develop those type of relationships with people outside of your family. And it takes a time and a process. And, you know, you want to make sure that you're trusting the people that's going to do right by your business. So my wife and I run ShareShare. She's the co-founder mm-hmm. as well. And, you know, family works within this. And our son was our first intern. You know, he's now at the Air Force Academy. So we've always just been, you know, intrinsically detailed and loving about just working together. And that's something that, you know, coming from the South and the Delta over in Mississippi, Arkansas, Tennessee area, they teach you that. And if you've been raised right, you learn to work with family, because that's really where your relationships are going to start.
I agree with that. Now, I do want to pivot, because you mentioned your wife, also been a co-founder of ShareShare. I do want to make sure that we highlight that and talk about that, because I think that it is innovative. When I first came across it, I was like, oh, this is awesome. But you guys weren't in my region yet. I don't know if you are now. You'll let me know. But how did ShareShare come up? And I know you said it was because of a need. So what kind of set that in stone for you, where you guys are like, we need to figure out some way to do this and birth ShareShare?
It's good. That's a great question. And I never get tired of answering this question. So when I remodeled and rebranded my salon in 2012, and it's been, you know, some years ago, when I rebranded, I found myself opening up some suites along with my open concept side. After I started the suites, I realized that the industry was changing. So stylists were being more transient. They weren't looking to sign long-term leases. You know, they want to be able to move around, move with their clients. And sometimes if they had to leave the area, you don't want to be locked into a lease. And I found that they wanted to be a little bit more transient, and they were changing. Independent stylists are now 7% of the beauty industry. And so you have to understand the numbers. But I found that space going dormant for so long. And I found it going dormant for like 6 to 9 months. So I realized in that time, a stylist came to me saying, Dr. Ty, you know, I was told about your salon. I'm seeing you've been the best salon in Plano for the last 3 years. I got a proposition for you. I was like, what is the proposition? He said, I'm moving to the southern sector of the city, and I have clients over here, 15 to 20 some clients that don't want to see me leave. And I really would love to work at your salon, but I don't want to sign a long-term lease or a contract. Could you allow me to work by the day? I was like, wow, you know, I never thought about it. No one's ever asked me. I said, let me think about it. Let me, you know, go home. I conversed with my wife about it. She laughed. She's like, who does that? Mm-hmm. I was like, you know, we got these suites. They're just lying dormant. They're waiting for people to lease them out by contract. This young lady came and said, could she work by the day? I don't know what price to charge. You know, let me think about it. You know, and then I'm not going to break my booth rent down and be like, okay, this is booth rent divided by five. I do have commission base as well. Okay. So I was like, a premium to it if I decide to do it. So I called her up the next day. She came and met with me, and I was like, I will allow you to do the by the day. She's like, well, what are you going to charge me? I was like, I'll charge you this. So I hit her with a premium price. Mm-hmm. She jumped that premium price as if, you know, it was crazy. I thought the price was higher than she was going to accept, but she jumped on it, and she was like, I love it. And so she came in the next day and started working Friday and Saturday, and it was just like she was a part of the team. You know, she mm-hmm. was communicate. She was very professional, but she was licensed. So I expected the professional side of her. But after that, she gave me a call about a couple of days later. And she said, hey, Dr. Ty, she said, I'm looking to go in a few other salons in the city closer to certain clients. She said, could you help me get in those salons? And I was like, well, why do you want me to help? She said, well, this is for two reasons. She said, first reason, you're a licensed beauty professional, so you understand our needs. And she said, you understand us. And she said, second reason, I love the way you run your business. And she said, you know, you're a business owner of your own business, so you could talk the language, you understand the apprehensions of what salon and barbershop owners are going to ask me. And she said, you could work in the middle and kind of help me kind of just kind of be the middleman and just kind of talk to them about who I am, because you've already had that experience. And I was like, wow, she had a very, very good point. And so I ended up taking those names of those salons, ended up calling those salon owners. But I first wanted to make sure I had a second set of salons just in case those barbers and those owners said no. Well, when I called, none of them said no. They were very intrigued. Some were apprehensive. Some were curious. And so all of them said yes. The only thing they wanted to know was the type of professional she was. Okay. Was she clean? Was she going to clean up behind herself? Was she licensed? All the things that we as salon owners look for when we're looking for people to rent or come in and work with our team. So I was able to handle all those questions, but they didn't know what to charge. So I had to kind of think about this from the perspective of what we do in tech now with our platform, location, the salon type, you know, was it a station, was it a suite, do they give back bar, are they allowed to use certain things, the ambiance of the shop. So all those things go into the equation when you're doing a price. So once we got all that settled, I helped this young lady. She told her friends about us. We found ourselves doing something that we thought was going to take a couple of weeks. We found ourselves doing this manually for 3 years. Manually.
Oh, wow.
That's a crazy point. But the part about it was is that here I am going to get my doctorate degree in barbering and cosmetology. I'm writing my best-selling book. I'm also on the advisory board of local beauty and barber schools. Mm-hmm. My wife is running Oracle. Now, I want you to keep this in mind. She's running Oracle's digital demand across five continents. So not only are we doing this, we're traveling across to Asia, India. We're traveling to the Down Under, Australia. We're traveling all over the world because of her job. And we're still helping these people. And so we were like, you know, what can we do to push these people over to another platform? You know, you got the Ubers, the Lyfts, the Airbnbs, the TaskRabbits of today. And so we was like, they got to be something for the beauty. Mm-hmm. So we looked at each other and we was like, okay, well, you put in some keywords, I'll put in some keywords. Let's see if we can find something to push them to, because we can't do this no more. We're actually too busy. We got tons of people reaching out to us, trying to get us to help them. We're helping people in Florida, California, Texas, Chicago. We're helping people everywhere. And so because they liked the fact that we knew how to talk and we could help people get in. Mm-hmm. So this is not something where people were reaching out like they are today. This was relationships. This was friendships. People saying, how did you get in that salon? Is that your new salon? They're like, no, girl, this guy helped me get into the salon. Well, can they help me? And so that's how the word got spread around. You know, once we realized that there was no platform, we was like, well, is this something that we could build? You know, that's how ShareShare started. And the story goes on from there, but it was very interesting.
What a start. And that's amazing. I think you guys have scaled it amazingly. So what market are you guys in now? Can you break that down off top of your head? Like, well, what states rather?
We're in over 670 cities.
Oh, wow.
670 cities. So when we first started, our thing was we're going to get into the top markets. Top markets would be West Coast, California, New York. And plus, we're at home in Dallas. So we wanted to make sure we were in Texas and just make sure that we was really doing what we need to do homegrown-wise here in Texas. But we knew that, you know, Florida carries a big weight, you know. But we wanted to start in those three. And so we knew that we had a few other people. But a lot of investors wanted us to grow in one market. They said, well, make sure you establish in one market, and then we'll rinse and repeat in the rest of them. That's not how the beauty works. It doesn't work like that. The beauty industry wanted us where they wanted us. So we had to just redefine how we were going to build our company and not listen to the people saying, okay, focus here. If we would have done that, looking at the pandemic, New York is shut down. California is shut down. So we wouldn't have been no good. But the fact that we're in 670 cities, we're in every single state. We're in every single state. The fact that we're in 670 cities says that people are looking for a platform like ours.
And agreed. The reason that I initially, I don't even know how, I don't know if somebody shared it or how I came across it, but I did. And at the time, I was more of a traveling stylist. So I wanted to incorporate some days where I would be in the salon. So you're right. And I was looking for a particular atmosphere because I have a particular type of clientele. And those were all the things that I'm looking for. I don't think a lot of times people consider, especially when they're new, that if you're looking for specific people to come in or you want a specific type of person to come in, it has to look a certain way. When I started out, I lost so many clients because where I worked did not look like
what I was portraying and the type of person that I wanted to cater to. And not that my work was bad. It's just that it didn't match. So if that makes sense.
I tell people, your clientele is going to be a direct reflection of who you are. And that's going to be how you look and where you work. So if I remember when I first started, I was, you know, working at a salon in the part of Dallas, but it was a very, very interesting area. The area was changing and I saw the area changing. Just typical, you know, people running in, running out, you know, you got your clients smoking weed, you got your hoodlums coming in, you got all that. So I had a lot of dignitaries. I had a lot of people from professionals. That's who would attach themselves to me because that's how I carried myself. You would have never known I was a barber outside of the shop if you didn't know I was a barber. You would have never known it. So a lot of the clientele that I was, you know, capturing were people that were business and they looked the part. But when you went to my job, when you went to the salon that I worked at, it didn't really too much look the part. And so a lot of times you are mixing and mingling with different types of people, which is not a big deal. Mm-hmm. But, you know, now that we got suites and now that we can create our own ambiance, but in my shop, the owner should create the foundation of ambiance for the stylists and the licensed professionals so that they can pull in those type of clientele. So I learned a long time ago that your clientele is going to look like you. So make sure that's a part of the service because people pay for that. They don't just come in and pay for the haircut. They don't come in and just pay for the service. They pay for the whole conglomerate of the business.
Now, I am going to jump back to what you said because I think it's important before we kind of go on to the next thing. You mentioned the pandemic and how California being closed down. Now, how does Sheer, I won't say capitalize, but what have you guys done or how has it made you guys maybe readjust or figured it out or made sure that you guys could still service your stylists or help them service their clients during a pandemic? Because I know that it's difficult for everybody now.
That's an awesome question. I think that, you know, a lot of people, even now that states have opened up and people are starting to just kind of roll back into this new normal, what we were doing that was so dynamic, and it all is a testament to your experience, your expertise, and your love and your passion for the industry. Being that I've been in this industry for a long time, and it's hard for other companies to pivot because they might not have the visionary understanding of what it takes to really pivot to the next stage. But what we started to do was we started to put out a lot of content, a lot of visual content, a lot of educational content, a lot of things that people were going through that they needed help with. So, you know, people were putting out these tutorials. We decided not to put out tutorials because we knew that was going to damage eventually our careers. You know, if we decided to teach these people 1,500 hours in a matter of 2 weeks and then they perfect it, then they're not going to come to you anymore. They're not going to feel like they teach you anymore. So we wanted to make sure that we were there for the stylists and the barbers and the licensed professionals. So we started creating content education-wise on how to get through the pandemic, how to start a salon, how to get the PPP loans, how to get EIDL applications, all those things. We literally helped over 100 people get the PPP loan who had gotten denied because they didn't understand. So we were doing things that were really capturing their attention, but giving them clear educational tools and understandings of what it was going to take for the new normal. How were they going to do things? Creating statements and stuff like that. So a lot of these things were going to be able to help them. So once they came back into this new normal, they could say, okay, well, people always want to give back to those at gate. And we wanted to make sure that we were giving people education so that they could remember us. And, you know, Maya Angelou said, people will forget what you said, but they'll never forget how you made them feel. Mm-hmm. And I always wanted people to understand Sheer is a part of the community. I am one of you all. I mean, it doesn't matter that I sit behind my computer right here. It doesn't matter that I'm on the phone with investors. Because if I talk to an investor, if I talk to anyone that don't know about the industry, if I don't know about it, they're not going to invest in us. If I get on platforms like yours, if I'm sitting up at Forbes, I'm a business insider, and I don't know my profession, then it's not going to look good on my part. So I'm always want to make sure that I'm representing from outside of behind that chair or even the fact that I'm in a salon. I am who I am, intrinsically a licensed professional, and I carry myself that way, but I'm more so a business.
So you mentioned the new normal. What do you think the new normal for us? What has been your perspective? Because I know you've been deep in research and checking everything out. What is the new normal for us licensed professionals, and what have you done to help like transition into this? Because it's not going anywhere. I think we're going to be here for a little while longer.
I think that the new normal now, first off, is that e-point is we're essential. We know this for a fact. We're essential. We have to cover at least anywhere from 900 to 1100 hours strictly on safety precautions and sanitation. Mm-hmm. So I think that when the president and when the governors and when the political figures decided to say we weren't essential, they didn't realize what it took to get our license and the safety precautions that we already take. Now, of course, there's a pandemic. There's a new thing out there, a new virus. Now we need to understand that. But it's really about cleaning. Now, the new normal is, okay, we know if we put a cape on someone, we can't use that cape. Wash that cape, dry that cape in some really, really warm air, and sanitize that cape and get it ready and at least have at least 10 in rotation. Mm-hmm. Every barber stylist should have at least 10 capes in rotation. Saying that, you need to wear gloves. So we knew some people are already wearing gloves, and because it gets to a point where you sometimes need that touch, you need that finger to touch, and you need it, and you need to be able to feel what you're doing. So now gloves are essential. We got to make sure we use our gloves. Use a different pair of gloves each client. Also, make sure everything you're utilizing is barbicide sanitized. So I made sure everybody, and we talked about this on our education forum, everybody needs to get barbicide certified. And that's necessary. Make sure you clean the chair before and after each client. Clean the doorknobs, the door handles. Don't let... If you got five stylists or two stylists in your salon, make sure that there's a customer in there for each stylist. There needs to be no one waiting. This is the thing, we have to create a new normal. That's one of the things that we do with ShareShare. No one has ever seen a platform like this. So there's no behavior. So we're creating behavior. And if a person knows, like yourself, Moniz, if you know that you can go to a salon that's going to fit your personality, your behavior, like, you know what? I'm gonna go through ShareShare. We're creating a behavior. Just right. Like everybody, I need a car, I'm gonna get an Uber. I don't need to go stay at a hotel, I'm gonna get an Airbnb. They've mm-hmm. created behavior. So what we're doing is creating behavior. But the normalcy of this new pandemic is giving us the opportunity for people to really see intrinsically who we are as professionals. We are professional. We have to have more hours than the police on the task force. Yes. 1,500 hours in Texas, 1,500.
Mm-hmm. And that's Mississippi too.
If you're going to go to school, that's going to take anywhere full time from 11 months to a year and a half, if not two, depending on how fast you can get through those hours.
Right.
So the new normal is essentially something that I feel like is something that we got to take serious, because if we don't, then we're going to do ourselves an injustice and they're going to shut us down again.
I agree with that. I hope we're not getting shut down again, although I am super cautious right now about being in the salon. It's not that it's a lot, but it does give you anxiety. Now, because you still own a barbershop, beauty barber?
I own both. I own a salon.
Both. What are your stylists and your barbers saying? Have they shared their... how they feel or what's going on? Everything's flowing for them. Everything. Or have you guys open?
We're open.
I was just gonna say, wait, I didn't ask that.
We've been open since May 8th. Everything is flowing seamlessly. And I'm gonna tell you how, because I've always believed in team members. You know, okay. I come from a big, I've always believed in communicating. I've been communicating with my guys before the pandemic. We mm-hmm. started to make changes before they shut us down. And so even through the process, I said, these are the things we gotta do. My team took the barbicide, you know, and got barbicide certified. I told them what the new normal was going to be. We sent out mass information to all the clients, everybody's clients. And I think what made my team excited is that they knew that they were already trusted me because mm-hmm. of how I run my business. But they knew that they could tackle it. Now, they were already a little apprehensive just about the uncertainties of the pandemic. But they was not apprehensive about coming back to the shop, because we had already talked about it. We had a meeting about it. We all met up at the shop. We talked about it. We moved out stations and we mm-hmm. moved out chairs. We made it so easy for the clients to feel comfortable. But we also, as professionals, I wanted them to feel comfortable. It makes no sense to make your client feel comfortable if you're not comfortable. It makes no sense to keep your clients if you don't feel safe. So we made sure we talked about it and went through all the precautionary reasons why it was safe to come back and how we was going to approach this next step.
Now, I'm going to ask you this out of sheer curiosity. No pun intended. as an owner, what was important to you that you think your stylist and barbers needed to hear or see from you during this pandemic or require from you in coming back? I know you had all the meetings, all of that, but what do you feel they maybe needed to hear or just needed from you, period, in the transition back to the new normal?
Leadership, total leadership. They needed that leadership in a way, and I'm gonna be honest with you, every now and then I have really high-end clients, some clients that I still like to converse with and still like to service. So that's like a handful. And okay. So once we opened, you know, my brother who runs the shop, he and I worked that as soon as they said we could open back up. So leading by example was one of the things that really made them comfortable. And so I went in 3 days because they'd already told us a time that we were going to open up. So I went in three days before and just totally ramshacked the place and really did a whole different take on how we was going to start building out this new normal. But just them knowing, they would stop by and see it and, you know, have people moving around things. So they say, you know what, this is so nice. But overall, if I had to just really just lay it down and just one clear sentence, it was my leadership that really made the call.
Okay. And I love that because not that I'm realizing, but it's coming back full circle with everything that's going on now, that head has to be in the right alignment in order for everything else to flow. This is not the time to drop the ball. I would say that this is not the time to drop the ball. Now, I do want to touch on this because you mentioned it. So tell us about Mentored by Failure. How did your book come about?
You know, when I got in this industry, I didn't have a mentor. I came in, I knew nothing about commission-based. I didn't want to work at no franchise salon, like no Great Skips, no Great Clips, no Sports Clips. I didn't want to work with. But I heard about different other salons. So all I knew coming out was working at a station, which was booth rental. Okay. So I didn't have no one to just really help me understand what I was getting myself into, because I almost quit a couple of times because, you know, it took a while to build up that clientele. So I know what people go through. And, you know, when you don't have anybody to go to teach you something, because everybody got the industry mixed up. They think it's a hustling business when it actually isn't. This is a real viable profession. Right. And people look at us because we have some people that actually hustle the game. They get in and get out, and they work it part time to go get a job and work full time. And nothing wrong with that, because I think that if you're trying to reach a certain point, it takes a process to get there. But I came in just straight off the floor, worked in a salon, and you know, I didn't have anybody to help me with anything. So Mentored by Failure was a book that I wish I would have had when I got out of school that kind of helped give me just some way of understanding how to be. And what could I do to become successful? So Mentored by Failure, it's the 5 ways. It teaches you how to become successful in the beauty and style. If you look at the cover, I hold a book and it says A, B. There's really no other way. The only thing, there's no failure in the first attempt. There's only thing that you have to realize is that, you know, you have to be. What is that? B-E. You gotta be professional, you gotta be consistent. All the things that the customers want. If you're professional but you're not consistent, if you're consistent but you're not professional, if you don't know how to handle money, it's certain things to be to make it in this industry, and no one teaches. They won't teach you how to make money. They won't teach you that it's successful. They want to say, okay, well, you know, if you service your clients well, what is servicing your clients? You got to really get it. And so in that book, I break it down to them. A lot of schools have taken it now as a learning tool for their students.
Oh, that's so awesome. I didn't get started with a mentor. This show came about after I got a mentor. And of course, that was years into the game. But I do love that you said, if you're not professional, but you're consistent, but if you're consistent, but you're not professional, it all plays a part. Although one is good, the other can outweigh it. And I think that was a lot of my issue when I started out. It took me a while to find a balance. And I think I'm still finding a balance, if I'm honest.
We can talk about that.
But let's dive in. I think, and I'll say this because it's really nothing you can do about it. It is what it is. When I started out, I'm very blunt. I say it how I feel. My facial expressions probably say it worse than I do out of my mouth. And it's just like, okay, it is what it is. Be late. You know, I think a beauty industry get a bad rep about all us being late. Don't talk about me. Late in my mouth. I think it took me a while to grow. And it took me a lot of, and I won't even say losing clients, because if I'm honest, some of them I wanted to lose. People think that you don't need to lose clients. Every client is not your client. We have to let them go. But anywho, so it wasn't the losing of the clients or anything like that. It was just wanting to be better, but not seeing it, because I worked where I work. Even though I would meet other people, I'm not working with them. So you can't glean in two separate spaces, per se. And the internet wasn't as big. So it took me just to say, okay, I want something different, because I'm looking for steady. Yep. I'm looking for more income, even though I could pull the type of clientele that I wanted. And you know what? A lot of them stayed. It wasn't even them that gave me problems. It took a lot of work. And I know a lady on Facebook, she posted a question, or you know how they play the Facebook games. How do I feel about you? Or post your name and I'll tell you what I think about you. And she was like, professional. And I was like, what, me? And I was like, let me screenshot this, because it took me years to get there. So how did you go about it? What was your issues? Was it professionalism, cutting? Like, what did you struggle with initially, and how did you conquer? I know that was a long runway question.
I mean, goodness gracious. To be totally blunt, there's no perfect person. There is no perfect professional. But everything, when I got into the business, my struggle was none of those things. I mean, I think this industry breeds ego. I think that if we knew where to put it, it breeds us to have an ego. It breeds us to do things that we wouldn't normally do, because it's like an athlete. We have a tendency to think that we can say what we want to our clients. You know, and we know that people coming off the street are going to treat us a certain way. So we have to kind of react to that. So I think initially I've always been a businessman. I've been thinking like a businessman since I've been like 12, 13 years old.
Okay.
So I always wanted to be a businessman. So I knew that it was going to take a lot. Plus, I've been reading books for a long time. Okay. So I read a lot of books, and I think about something Magic Johnson used to always say, over-deliver. So I always wanted to over-deliver to my clients. Not just in service, not just in personality, but the way I dress, the way I carry myself. I always wanted to come in, you know, it didn't matter if I went and hung out with my brothers and my friends at clubs. If I said I was going to be there at 7, I was there at 6:50. So, okay. 8 a.m. So, I know that at the end of the day, I couldn't have wrote that book if I knew that I was given real information. That is real information. That's real life. I did not have it. But I tell you this, I think if I can speak to you directly, one of the issues you have in this industry when it comes to consistency and professionalism, we don't have no one to model it after. We're kind of doing it ourselves. If we had a model, then we could say, hey, you know what, this is how this person became successful. We don't. And I think that that's what's going on now with Instagram and social media. We're teaching stuff that we just kind of putting out there. There's no real example. So we would learn from a book, and they didn't really teach us the business of business. They just taught us what we need to learn to get out of school to require us to be licensed. But none of those issues I had. I was always professional to my clients, always consistent. I always told my clients to help build clientele. Okay. And I only wanted to make sure that the clients that I was losing them because I was leveling up.
Oh, that's good. I like that. Don't try to make it seem like it was just me, Dr. Ty. don't put it all on me. but I love that.
I truly appreciate your honesty. You shouldn't have a platform like this if you can't be honest. So I truly appreciate that.
And thank you. And I love that you said we should be honest, and that we need more people to just bring it out and share it, which is why I even started this. Like, no mentor. Well, I got one when I was older, had been in the game for a long time, pivoting in another direction in my career, but I've never seen it. And so I went through what I went through, and then I transitioned, and I'm like, Well, I won't say I, because this is not me. I didn't want to do this. The Lord gave it to me. Let me just be honest. And I was like, I don't really want to tell my business. And it was like, well, it's not about you. It's about helping somebody else. And I was like, okay. And you know, the Lord will give you bits and pieces. He don't really give you the full scope of things. And so he was like, how about for a year? Like I told you before, for a year, I did it on my own. And I would just write down little bullet points. I would see something online and I was like, oh, I can talk about this. And those older ones are on Periscope. I probably need to get them off and reshare them because they had a lot of good nuggets. And then it was like, bring people on because I can't relate to everyone. Yep. So I bring on people like you and the Destiny Coxes of the world and others to come in and share your lane because I have my lane and that's what I can speak from. So I love it. Go ahead.
I'll say this. I'm a social person. Coming from a big family, I learned how to talk a long time ago, just reaching out to people, connecting with people. So you kind of have to be a little bit of a social butterfly without this kind of getting too, without exerting yourself too much. So many different walks of life. And some of the best relationships have come out of my chair. You know, some of the best relationships that I have to this very day. So I've had investors in ShareShare come out of my chair.
So
at the end of the day, you never know who's sitting down. I mean, I've dealt with celebrities. I've dealt with hierarchy people, you know, who have called me on my phone because of a relationship, you know, NFL coaches, you know, Hall of Famers, you know, people that work in the industry, dignitaries. These people have come through somebody in my chair because it's all about somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody that knows
somebody.
That's so right. Who you are, because your people are going to always represent your best self. So if your best self hasn't been put on this display, they can't represent it because it's they're marketing you to their name.
Right. And I agree with that. And I love that you say a lot of your people and investors come out of your chair. When I think back, because I don't work solely for myself anymore. We can talk about that later. Look, off camera. So I've gone back kind of corporate. Don't laugh. But when I think about my private clients, the level of clientele that I had, they didn't look like what they were, which I absolutely love. And I think, of course, that's because of who I am, but they were really elite. They were down to earth, but they were very important, are very important people. And that's what I wanted to, those are the people that I wanted to service. And they sent so many great people to me. I remember one of my clients, she was like, I'm sending this lady to you and I can't tell you who she is. Just hook her up. It was one of my older clients. She was like, just hook up. She want a hair did. She needs something new. And so once I had styled her, she went on her way. I think it was a week later before my client came to get her hair done. And she was like, oh, she's a judge. I couldn't tell you who she was before she came. I was like, what?
That happens a lot. And I think that if we're going to talk about, you know, the separating the client, the clients that look like money aren't always the clients that are going to stay your clients. It's the clients that don't look like money, you know, that got money. And so I've learned to just treat people equally, and they're going to always make sure that they take care of you. And like I said, my price point has exceeded what most people, most barbers would ever think about charging. So to be able to get to that point in my career, when I was before I started ShareShare, it really showed me that, you know, people want to get an experience. What are you doing different than someone else is doing? Because let me tell you something. If you're running the same race with every other salon, every other barber, every other stylist, you haven't created a lane. And that just goes to show you the fork in the road. So the fork in the road is always going to be more people going to walk to the right than to the left. So I've always been a person to move to the left side where there are less footprints, because there's something that those people know that these people here don't.
And thank you so much. I know we have to wrap up, Dr. Ty, but I have, first of all, I'm going to say I have to get some more Mississippi barbers on here that charge good price points, because I love that the barber industry, or the barbers per se, have gone back to more grooming and more experience. And I follow a lot of barbers. I don't know, I'm intrigued by hair cutting. And we have them here in Mississippi. They're not doing the $25 haircuts, not all of them. So I'm gonna have to get somebody on the show so we can talk about it. But I do want to, before we go, I know we gotta wrap it up. I'm gonna first ask you to tell us where we can find your book, Tour by Faith, by Failure, not by Faith.
can find my book on Amazon.com, or you can email me at ty@sheershare.com, and you can purchase one through our company when you get an autographed one. If you go through Amazon, okay. It won't be autographed. But if you want to reach me at ty@sheershare.com, then my team can send you an autographed one, and you can get one that way.
Okay. Now, I do want to let the people know that Dr. Ty and Sheershare, I'd rather say Sheershare, yes. As you guys know, he's the co-founder. For a lot of the information that he's been giving out during the pandemic, you guys can find it on YouTube. What is your YouTube handle, Dr. Ty?
Sheershare. So you could go, it's Sheershare every day.
Just search Sheershare. They're everywhere Sheershare. If you put the name in.
Yeah, Sheershare/education. So Sheershare Instagram, Sheershare Twitter, Sheershare Facebook. We're Sheershare everything. If you want to connect with me, I'm Dr. Ty Caldwell on Instagram, on Twitter. And so it's easy to contact me that way. But if you just really want to reach out to me, if you have a question, ty@sheershare.com. I love talking to people. That's probably one of my biggest assets as far as, you know, as a personality. I love talking to people. I love educating. And I love giving people insight. I would like to share, you know, that,
yeah,
you can. Since the pandemic, you know, post-COVID, you know, 65% of stylists plan to travel fewer than 15 miles to find salon space. So we're able to help people now, not just in their own community, but outside of that, because we know that with Sheershare being this platform that it is, where you're able to book space by the day, the sweet spot of people working is 3 to 4 days a week. And okay. I think most people know that. And most people, when they sign contracts now, they're signing for 5 to 7 days, but they're working 4 days. And so you can go where you want to go, get the ambiance you want to have, get the type of style, get the type of place, location you want to have, and still not have to be locked into a contract. So we want to just let people know that we're here for them. And we know that we're a newer platform. This industry has been around for over a century long. So it's not like people are going to change their behavior right away. But we see that people right now are really enjoying what we're doing. But I think the key to it all is the team, is making sure the operations team is good, the customer service is awesome, and making sure that the person that's representing them, like myself and my wife, that we're really out there just really trying to help the licensed professional and the salon and barbershop owners, because that's really who we are as far as a team. We want to make sure we're doing that. So me and my wife make a great 1-2 punch. She knows the industry from the marketing digital platform. I know it from a visionary platform and a licensed professional.
And now, Dr. Ty, I'm going to ask you 2 questions.
Yep.
The first question I'm going to ask you is, did you want to talk about anything about your tech work or experience? Or do you want to save that for later? We can always do something later.
Well, we can always do something later, but I didn't know anything about tech other than just being on Instagram. I was not technologically savvy. So, you know, when I built Sheershare, we built it with a third-party company that was able to build out our rudimentary. So I actually drew every screen of Sheershare on a Chipotle napkin, because that's what we were eating, rice and beans, for a year, because we utilized all our funds, all our savings, all our 401k to build this platform. Oh, we utilized everything we had to build this platform. So we were able to now not only get with a tech team, but we were able to also have a friend who's an advisor for our company to help us out, because that's who she introduced us to. But no, there was no technology, you know, acumen from us. We had to really make sure that we were reaching out and having these relationships. Now we have our tech team is over half the company in-house.
Oh, wow.
So we don't have a third party team anymore. Everybody's here. We have 13 to 15 employees, including contractors. And we're just growing. And one of the things that we're doing, we're making sure we're prescriptive in how we're building the platform. You're now able to sell, do product sell through. You're able to now connect with the salon owner once you book. We are now allowing people to get ads on the platform. So we're doing a lot of things that people are looking for. And this is strictly for the licensed beauty professionals. Instagram is for everybody. You know, Craigslist is for everybody. Indeed is for everybody. If you're on Sheershare, Sheershare is for the licensed beauty professionals, salon and barbershops and spas.
So let me ask you this. Say I'm a consumer. Could I find a stylist on Sheershare?
Not yet. And so we really want to focus on this market.
The industry.
We know that someone like you, if you came to Dallas, and you say, you know what, I don't know where I want to, I don't want to go to Martha's house and do her hair. I really want to go somewhere where I can connect with my clients, and she wants to bring three of her friends, and nobody wants to go to nobody's home, especially post-COVID, you know, not feeling safe and sanitary, and not having, and you're not comfortable. You know, you need all the unique tools and essential things you need to make sure you're doing your work right. You need lighting, you need the chair, you need the mirror, you need shampoo bowl, you need all of those things. So if you were to come to Dallas, you'd be like, where can I go? You can find a salon on, you can find a salon, a barbershop on Share. But the customer, the consumer, doesn't know where to tell you to go. She doesn't have a connection with the salon owner. All she knows is, I wish you could go there, girl. You got to come to my house. She connects the licensed professional to the salon owner. We're B2B, and I think that there's a lot of B2Cs out there. There's a lot of booking apps out there that does that. You know, people got the Style Seats.
Right.
You got different people like that, Squire. People that are booking and allow you to be able to do things, but Share strictly deals with B2B, licensed professionals of business, and a salon and barbershop owners of business.
And I only ask that because I know someone would probably, that may not be familiar with the company, ask that. So I wanted you to address it. It's strictly for licensed professionals, for us to find places that we can service our clients. So go ahead. I'm sorry.
And for barbershop owners who have empty space that they want to put on the platform for them.
Yes. My final question is that I ask every guest that I have on the show is, what advice or one piece of advice would you give someone who feels stuck, unsure, and maybe ready to call it quits?
Wow. One thing that I have this conversation. So I have people that reach out to me often. My nephew is one of the people that I'm mentoring right now. People have that issue. It's an undergirding thing. So you have to stay focused. What are you focusing on, and what are you doubting? If you're doubting yourself, we're going to remove that layer, because you shouldn't doubt yourself. There are going to be a lot of things that are going to pull you, but I think the first key thing is to focus. Focus on what that thing is that is putting in you the thought process to quit, or the thought process to give up. You shouldn't give up. I think that we got to find sometimes, and I go through this as a tech founder, because it's so much bigger than just being a barber now and just looking at small money. We really look at a lot of things. So don't quit. Focus. You have to readjust. In the tech world, we say pivot. Pivot is restarting. Quitting, you're done. You're finito. Mm-hmm. So you have to pivot and find out what that thing is that's really intriguing you to really remove yourself. So I tell people, focus and pivot, so that you can really understand why you're giving up. Because most people, they're giving up on something. It's not a bunch of things. They're giving up on something. It could be one thing that could keep them in there, but it's something that's really holding them back. So I would always say focus and pivot.
That's what you should do in most situations, even not in the beauty industry. If you're stuck, period, that's all good, great information. So, Dr. Ty, I want to thank you. Tell your wife thank you and your team for putting up with me and introducing you to Career Junkie TV. We are. I told you guys I have some stuff in store. We'll talk about it off camera. Thank you for allowing me this extra time, because I'm over what I said when we came on. And again, guys, you can find Dr. Ty on probably all social media platforms. And again, he is the co-founder of Share. And again, you can find Share everywhere. Be sure that you guys check it out on YouTube to see the information that they've given for the pandemic and what you can do.
We would love for them to download off of Android or iOS, either phone. Download and check us out.
Okay, and you heard it from Dr. Ty. So again, thank you so much, and we will see you guys next time. Bye, Dr. Ty. Thank you. Bye.